So we, 2 weeks ago, started a series called Psalms for All Seasons. And, you know, we have a lot of good books in the Bible. Every book in the Bible is a good book. And we, you know, preach through a lot of books. And a lot of books in the Bible are, you know, good on theology, good on day-to-day living, good on, you know, kind of giving us a truthful understanding. But it doesn't always kind of dig down to our soul as deep as other books do. But Psalms is a great book because it tells truth. It teaches us how to worship in all seasons. It teaches us how, you know, in times of celebration and victory, in times of lament, in times of sadness, in times of joy, in different areas, it shows us. It doesn't just tell us how to live truth. It shows us how to live truth. And there are a lot of times we need that. So we've been going through books of the Psalm. And we're going, so if you open up your Bible, there are five books in the Psalms. They're full of a bunch of Psalms. This summer, we're going to be doing the first book. So 1 through 41. I'm not going to do all 41. We're kind of picking and choosing throughout the summer. I have them all laid out already. And we'll be doing reading some kind of as part of our worship service as well. But, you know, I want to encourage you as we go through this summer to be reading Psalms on your own as well. Open it up, read through a couple Psalms, memorize a Psalm, read Psalms with your kids at night. You know, let this just be a summer where the Psalms really speaks to our soul. But today or this morning, we're going to be talking about Psalms 6. And as you've kind of guessed it, we are at Psalm 6 is a psalm of lament. And I'm going to tell you this right now. One of the reasons why I wanted to do Psalms is because I wanted to preach a psalm of lament. We're actually going to do a couple. Why? Because I think we do a terrible job at it. Now, before I jump in, are there any kids out there who know what the word lament is? Anyway, Kayleen, what is it? Like crying out. Lamenting is expressing our sorrows. Kayleen, A+, okay? Don't lose that A+. We'll work on it later. But, you know, it's this idea of crying out to the Lord, of expressing your pain and hurt and not moving on from it right away and not being all put together, but being able to show what is really going on. And I don't know if you know this, but as not just as an American church, but as Americans in general, we do a terrible job of this. Did you know that? You know, we do an awful job at lamenting, or we really fail at it in two ways. The first way we fail at it is we don't lament at all. Okay, you know, there's this idea of the American dream. You know, the American dream's about happiness, always happiness. So instead of taking the time to weep and feel pain and to feel anguish, we just push whatever's causing that pain or causing that discomfort off to the side. No, it's not a big deal. I'm just going to go to the next thing. Or the next thing, or the next thing. You know, we don't take time to feel the brokenness. We don't take time to feel, you know, we don't take time to express those emotions. We want to have a put together life. Well, do we really? Yeah, just go look at every Instagram account available, okay? It's not hard to see. We try to fabricate this perfect life, and when it's not there, we fill it in with other things. But on the flip side of that, the other way that we get lament wrong is instead of lamenting in a way that leads us to the Lord, we have an entitlement lament. I worked really hard on those two words together because they kind of rhyme. And I try to rhyme sometimes. But it's this idea of entitlement lament where we lament because everything is so wrong and there's such an injustice in my life. And we're not lamenting because of the hardships that God allows us to go through. We're lamenting because we think we deserve all of these things and it's not happening in my life. And it's not a lament to draw us closer to the Lord. It's a lament because we're not getting what we want. And neither of these things are helpful. Both sides leave us more empty than when we even started. You see, if you and I, if we are going to learn how to live in and out of every season and be able to worship and understand God and know God through all seasons, one of the things that we have to learn how to do is we have to learn how to have a righteous lament. We have to learn how to have a righteous lament. A righteous lament allows us to be real. It allows us to wrestle with God. It allows us to feel pain and loss of this life without having to move on from it right away. But it also shows us clearly how broken we are, how ugly this world can be, but also how amazing God really is. A righteous lament is a journey for our soul from our sin, our brokenness, our sorrow, and fear to joy and trust and faithfulness and worship. Yes, lament is even worship. See, a righteous lament will give us a clearer picture of our brokenness, but also a clearer picture of God's greatness. It'll give us a clearer picture of our brokenness, but give us a greater picture of God's greatness. So we're going to be opening up Psalm 6. And Psalm 6 is another psalm of David. And it's one of the psalms of lament. Now, we don't know exactly why David wrote this psalm. Probably, okay, this is not scripture, this is Jesse. Probably it was tied to Psalms 3. So when you know David was running from Absalom, we read Psalm 3 last week to start out the service. But you know David didn't do a good job parenting his kids, and you know he screwed up with Bathsheba and with Uriah, and then kind of from there it was downhill. And then he didn't parent his sons very well, and two of his sons got in a fight, and one son kills another son, and then he doesn't, and you know Absalom kills one of his other brothers, and then David doesn't shepherd his other son Absalom very well, and then Absalom ends up trying to take over, and so David's on the run. It was probably that, not for sure, but we know from the psalm that David was running. He was, you know, there were enemies and foes all around him. We also know from the psalm that he was suffering from an ailment. He was sick. This is a lament of sickness, and that there was something happening in his body. We also know that he understood that this was God's doing, that God was allowing this in his life. And so it's a great psalm for us because, you know, a lot of times there are real things, and I have things like sickness that we're like, how do we understand? How do we worship through this? There are times when there are a lot of people around us where it's like, I don't know how to work through this situation. And there are a lot of times when it's our fault, just like what David was, but he still cries out to the Lord. So he gives us kind of four things that show us what it looks like to have a righteous lament. And the first thing that we see is that we need a brokenness before a sovereign God. We need a brokenness before a sovereign God. Look at verse 1 through 3. It says, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul is also greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? He starts out his lament going right to God. Now, in this psalm, he never expresses sin. Now, and then when you look at the rest of his laments, most of his laments are an expression of sin or repentance of sin. But in this psalm, he doesn't, which is kind of interesting. But even in that, when he starts out right at the very beginning, he's addressing God. Oh, Lord, you see that like 100 times throughout the psalm. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. He's going right to the very person of God. And he says, rebuke me not in your anger. Okay, he understands that God is just in what he is going through. The things that God is allowing David to go through. David understands that God is just. That the anger that God is expressing towards David is warranted for one reason or another. But not only that, he says, nor discipline me in your wrath. You see, David, right away from the very beginning, understands his brokenness before God. It's not a woe is me, or I don't deserve this, or no, God, look at all of these things. But no, he goes right to God and says, God, don't discipline me in your wrath. Don't discipline me in your anger. Don't rebuke me in your anger. Don't discipline me in your wrath. He understands that he is at fault, or at least that what is happening is, you know, is not a, you know, sometimes it's not an entitlement thing. He's not sitting there saying, woe is me, but instead he's throwing himself at the feet of God, understanding. And then he goes on, he flips it, he goes from don't discipline me to be gracious to me. He says, be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul is also greatly troubled. Again, he's throwing himself at God, allowing God to see his hurt and his pain. And you see, David right here is showing us, he's giving us a great example of what it looks like to be broken before a sovereign God. You know, a lot of times you and I, we don't like to go before God for a lot of reasons. You know, we struggle with lament because, you know, we don't understand how to, there's this tension of going before God, of understanding how sinful and broken we are, but also how great God is. And we don't know how to put these two things together. You know, we understand, well, you know, this is probably my fault. And if it's really my fault, I can't go before God because God is holy and perfect and God is sovereign. And so I got to get my act together. I got to figure out how to put my life back together before I can show up at God's doorstep. And we don't lament and we try to move on because so often we don't feel like we can go before God. But right here, David's showing us, this is his, you know, he understands that he's at fault to some extent here. What is happening to him, both is, you know, his being rebuked by God and being disciplined by God, and you know, the anguish and the turmoil and the trouble that he's going through, he understands that he's at fault to some extent. Or at least, you know, it's not out of God's nature to allow him to go through this, but he still goes into God's throne room. He says, Lord, don't rebuke me. God, be gracious to me. God, heal me. And he understands this tension that we have to learn to work through, that, you know, we are broken people and we need to understand our brokenness, and we need to understand that every trial that God allows us to go through is not wrong. You know, so there are times that we sin and we bring it on ourselves, and, you know, there are other times, you know, loved ones dying, sickness happening, that maybe it's not like directly related to our sin, but God is using that to grow us, and God is using that to humble us, and God is using that really to show us our brokenness. And that our brokenness is the exact thing that allows us to have a righteous lament. We understand that God is holy and that God is perfect. We understand that God is the one that we need to go to. And instead of just saying, all right, I'm broken, I need to run from God like we would a normal king or a normal ruler or a normal someone in authority, instead God says, no, but I want you to come. Just like David here, in his brokenness, comes before a sovereign God. You see, we went camping for Father's Day. So right after church last week, we ran home and packed up our trailer real quick. It really took like 2 hours. But we packed up our camper real quick and we went to Peninsula State Park. It is great. So just let me tell you that right now. Anybody wants to go camping this fall, we're going there again. But we went camping and you know, we were there for a couple days. You know, Monday morning, we did like a 3-mile hike. And then Monday afternoon when the little kids were napping, I took the three older kids in like a 4-hour bike ride or 4-mile bike ride. And then we were, you know, in and out of campfires. And we did a lot of, you know, just stuff outdoors and got messy and dirty. And Monday night, we were actually going to go into town and we were going to meet up with some friends of ours who live up in that area. Yeah, people actually do live up in that area. It's kind of cool. But, you know, we were going to go meet up and have some ice cream with our friends. And I was looking at my kids and they were disgusting. And I looked at myself and I was disgusting. I smelled bad. I smelled like campfire, so it actually wasn't that bad. But, you know, I was dirty. You know, Jaden had a smudge on her face and, you know, Micah's shorts were all dirty. And I was like, all right, guys, why don't you go change your shirts and wash your hands? And Jaden just looks at me and goes, Dad, we're camping. This is what we're supposed to look like. I looked at Ashley and Ashley just kind of was like, yeah. I was like, all right, noted. We're camping, Dad. We're supposed to be all dirty and grungy. We're supposed to smell like a campfire. And that's okay to go into town and have ice cream when you look like you're camping when you're camping. See, God expects us to be broken. God doesn't expect us to come to him with everything figured out. He figures it out for us. And even though God is a sovereign God, he's controlling all things, you know, even to the point where, you know, David understands that, where he says, you know, right there at the end of verse 3, he says, my soul is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? He understands that God is in control of the very thing that he's going through for the time that he's going through. He understands God's holiness and God's sovereignty, but he still goes to God in his brokenness because God expects that. God is the one that we go to be fixed. And if we're going to have a righteous lament, we need to understand that we need to have a brokenness before a sovereign God. Understand that God has all things under control and God has put these things together, but we don't have to get our life all fixed before. We need to just fall on our face before God. And that's messy. You know, I love the fact that David questions God. It's out of respect. He says, "Oh Lord." Okay, that's a term of respect, but he still says, "How long?" And it's this tension of brokenness before a sovereign God. But we need to step right into that and not be afraid of that. And if we're going to have a righteous lament, if we're going to be in a place where we can go before God, we have to be able to say, "Lord, here is my broken self. Lord, don't discipline me in your anger. I know that I might be at fault, or I know that there are reasons that this might be happening to grow me or to challenge me. But God, oh, I'm in turmoil. How long, oh Lord?" We need to be broken before a sovereign God. But the second thing that we need to understand is that we need to petition God's character. We need to petition God's character. You know, a lot of times, we think that the story of God's story in the gospel of Jesus revolves around us, right? We think, well, God created us, so the story revolves around us. Or, you know, we think, well, Jesus came down and died for us. He took our place on the cross to save us. It was all about us, and the gospel is about... No, but it's not, really. The gospel is about God expressing his love to us. And God's plan of salvation and God's plan of redemption and, you know, God's plan of showing himself and revealing himself, it's to make us better and it's to grow us, but ultimately it's to display God's glory. You see, God does this to show himself off. And the gospel isn't just a story about us, it's a story about God's love for us. And when we petition God, when we're going before God, it's not about us. It's about God. And David gets that. Look at verse 4. He says, "Turn, O Lord, and deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you, and in Sheol who will give you praise?" You see, David got it. David understood that he couldn't lament, you know, in and of himself. This idea of entitlement, lamenting doesn't work. It doesn't fix our soul. We have no right to go before the Lord and be like, "Lord, I don't deserve this." Because really we do. But it's about God's glory. It's about God's showing off and displaying himself. When he says, "Turn, O Lord, deliver my life." He throws himself, he petitions to God on God's character. When he laments, he asks, "Lord, deliver me, save me for the sake of your steadfast love." And we did a series, a couple series ago, we went through 1 Peter. And 1 Peter was all about this idea that God allows us to go through suffering to display his power and his glory. God allows us to go through suffering so that when people see us and they watch us suffer but still live for the hope of eternity, that's, man, there's something different in those people. There's something different going on. And the same is true, you know, in what David is talking about. He understands that if God saves him, it's going to be so that God can put his glory on display. And when we lament before God, we need to lament at God's character. "Lord, you are good and holy and perfect. Lord, save me for your steadfast love." And God, if I die, and David's just being completely literal here. "God, if I die, I will no longer be able to praise you. And if I die, my story's not going to bring you praise. So Lord, save me so that people can see your glory and praise you." David appeals to God's character and praise as a reason to save him. And, you know, when we do this, a couple things happen. It forces us to run into the character of God. It forces us in our lament and in our sorrow to not try to fill it with lots of other things, but instead run right to the person of God and start to open up who that person really is. If we're going to lament in a way that petitions God's character, that means we have to know God's character. You want to know what the best place for you to be in a time of sorrow, in a time of turmoil? Is studying the very person of God. Understanding God's steadfast love. Understanding the promises that God has. You know, this idea, the reason that David's calling on steadfast love is because that's the very thing that God has promised David. He's telling God back the very promises that God told David. If we're going to lament in a way that a righteous lament, it means that we are petitioning to God, but it also means that we are declaring God's presence. We are declaring God's glory. We are declaring the promises that God has given us. It's like, do I really need to know these promises? Yeah, even at six. Start remembering the promises of God and saying, Lord, save me for this. And even as we're praying to God over these things and lamenting to God, it is reminding us the very person of God. It allows us to see God. But not only that, it also allows us to show those around us who we're turning to. There's no one else, God. Lord, it is only you. I have seen the ugliness of this world. I have seen my own brokenness. There is nothing else, God. And if it is not you, nothing's going to satisfy. And David just falls on his face. And David knows his own salvation is meant to bring God's glory. You know, so we went camping again. I'm going to stay in that example. And we did this, it's like a 3-ish mile hike with the kids. They did a pretty good job. And now, you know, I really love coffee. I talk about that all the time. I'm a big coffee fan. John's snickering over here at me. Are you drinking good coffee right now, John? Good. Yes. Whew. If you're not drinking good coffee at home, just don't make coffee in the morning on Sunday mornings and come. Steve makes a really good cup of coffee right out there. Just make sure you get a cup. But, you know, we did this 3-mile hike, okay? And we got back from this 3-mile hike, and I was super thirsty. And you know, I've been carrying Isaiah, my shoulders on and off, and, you know, we've kind of in and out of the sun, and, you know, and I had finished my water a while back. And I really wanted a hot cup of coffee, right? No, would you say yes or no? No, I don't really want a hot cup of coffee, even though I love coffee and I'm a big coffee guy. At that moment, I want water. I want a big glass of really cold ice water. That's the very thing that's going to satisfy my soul. When we do this, when we go into God's character, when we start to proclaim and petition God's character, you know what we're doing? We're going to the one thing that satisfies. God, save me for your glory. God, save me so I can continue to praise you. And what it does in our lamenting is it reshapes our thoughts. It reshapes our heart and realigns us even in our sorrow with God's promises and who God is. And so if we're going to have a righteous lament, we need to understand our brokenness before our sovereign God. We need to petition God's character, but we also need to express our soul honestly. We need to express our soul honestly. Look at what David goes into in verse 6. He says, I am weary with my moaning every night. I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eyes waste away because of grief. It grows me weak because of all my foes. If you're a dramatic reader, you should read that dramatically. You know, most of the time, you can walk out of here or walk in here, really any church or pretty much anywhere in our country, and you can ask people, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. I heard you just lost your job. I heard your mom just passed away. Oh, yeah, you know, that was tough, but I'm doing good. I got this, and I'm fine. This is happening. Like, we don't know how to do this. We don't know how to express our soul. See, David goes before the Lord. He's broken before God. He goes before a sovereign God. He petitions God's character, but he doesn't then just move on to something really quick. He opens himself up fully to God. And not to God, but also to us. He puts his pen to it. I mean, just look at the picture that he draws. He says, I am weary with my moaning every night. I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with weeping. My eyes waste away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. Man, that's a passionate prayer. That's a man who is desperate, who is starting to see the desperation of his own soul. And, you know, this is a three-verse section, but, you know, this is really a season of life for David. This is something that he's been going through for a long period of time. And, you know, we get to this place where we feel like this, and what do? We turn on Netflix. We grab a bowl of ice cream. Jesse, that's what you always, I know, I'm still working on it. We immediately move off. We don't know how to fully express our soul in, before the Lord. But you see, if we're going to lament before God, where it gets to the place where we understand it's only God, we need to open up and let that all out before God. And this isn't, you know, when you look at David's lament, this isn't a temper tantrum. Okay, kids? Okay, you can't go and be like, Dad told, or Pastor Jesse, Dad to several of them. Pastor Jesse told me I can throw myself on the ground and throw a temper tantrum. No, that's not what I'm talking about, okay? If you want to ask that question, kids, come talk to me afterwards. We'll work through that one. No, but what I'm talking about is this idea of a lament before the Lord that allows your soul to be opened up. And we work hard, or we don't work hard at allowing God to see us. And we need to get to the place where we are not afraid to show our hurt and pain in a way that allows us to show ourselves fully before God and to God's people. In a way that allows us to not sit there and moan about our situation, but to say, God, this is who I am. I have nothing else. God, this is my current situation. I have absolutely nothing to offer. This is it. God. And sometimes that's small. And sometimes we just try to move on in the little things right away, and it doesn't teach us to open up. But even little things, we need to learn, you know, Lord, this is yours. And we need to learn how to do it in the big things. You know, when someone would die in the Old Testament, they would have like a week-long time of mourning and weeping. They would hire professional mourners, professional weepers. Now, John was a wedding singer, so John would get paid to go sing at weddings. Did you ever get paid to go sing for a week at a funeral? For a week?
No, not a
week. Oh, okay. But you got paid to go sing at a funeral? Nice. Okay, someone's learned how to lament. But they would do for a whole week. They would have these moments of crying and weeping and gnashing of teeth. And, you know, we need to get some of that back, because if God is really going to get to every part of our soul, we need to open up every part of our soul to God. We need to learn how to say, God, this is everything that I have, Lord. God, I've been weeping. I have been in sorrow. God, I don't know where to turn. I am wasting away. Can you imagine if you went to a small group and you got into accountability time, and every person did this in the account? It'd be like, this is so weird. But we need this. We need to be able to open up to the Lord and express ourselves. We need to be able to say, God, this is who I am. Our soul wants to be fully heard, but a lot of times our pride doesn't let it. Our soul wants to be fully heard, but a lot of times our pride doesn't let it. So we need to start practicing. Even this week, I was kind of studying through this, and I was like, all right, Lord, what am I not doing? What am I not doing, God? And then I got a phone call with something else, and it was not a good phone call. It was a very tough phone call. And I was actually pretty angry about it. And I was like kind of grumbling, and I was like, oh, whatever. I just need to put it off. I need to, you know, I had all these lists of things I had to get done that day. And I was like, I'm just going to put it off and get back to work. And I was immediately convicted. Jesse, you're preaching on this. You're preaching on this. So what I do, I laid face down on my floor. All right, Lord, I need to practice this. I need to learn how to do this. I don't know how to lament well, but God, this stinks. And this is really hard. And we need to learn how to have moments like that in our life. And as we open up and see these laments that David wrote, as you read through Psalms, you see a man who is not afraid to express himself before the Lord. Sometimes it's a drive in the car. Sometimes it's on a jog or a walk. Sometimes it's, you know, together with your small group or with your family where you've experienced loss and you just need to weep together before the Lord. But you know what happens when we do this? We see our sorrow clearly. We see our faithlessness clearly. We see our hurt and our pain clearly. It's open, and we start to understand that there is nothing that's going to fill that. When we lament well, it puts our soul on full display and the feelings and the desires that it has on full display where we can actually see and be like, no, man, that doesn't work. I need God. So we need to learn to express our soul well, just like David did. Again, it's not a temper tantrum, but it's a brokenness before the Lord, saying, Lord, this is all of me. It has to end in the very presence of God. Because God, my eyes are going to waste away if you don't step in. God, I'm going to grow weary if you don't step in. And that leads David then to his last point, that we need to trust God's sovereign plan and character. Look how David finishes his psalm in verse 8. He says, depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping, and the Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayers. All of my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. This is where righteous lament ends up. As we go through this brokenness before a sovereign God, petitioning his character, opening up the deepest part of our soul before him, laying it all out. It then ends here. But you, O Lord, have heard me. But you, O Lord, have heard me. David's faithfulness and courage is strengthened by seeing God's faithfulness before and knowing in his prayers that God is going to answer him again. And, you know, if you look here, his prayer to be delivered, his prayer to be healed, isn't even answered yet. It's not even answered yet. He's still living in whatever trial that he was going through. The sickness was still there. But he gets up and he says, but Lord, I know you've heard my prayer. Lord, I know you've heard my weeping. I know you've accepted my pleas. Why? Because it was a righteous lament. It was a righteous lament where he went before the throne of the Lord with everything and just laid it out and said, Lord, this is all you. But you know what else? As he was doing that, he was able to remember, oh yeah, I remember when God answered that prayer there. And I remember when God touched me there. I remember the last time that something like this happened and I was able to look back and see God's faithfulness there. You know, when we go before the throne and we open up and start to petition to God's character and open up our brokenness before that, we start to also then remember the ways that God has promised and the ways that God has healed and the way that God has moved. And every time that God has done it, we know God's going to do it again and again and again. And I can't tell you, you know, how many times, you know, I have felt like, oh, my world is ending. It finally gets to the point where it's like, all right, God, it's all yours. And I'll go for a walk or I'll go for a run and I'll complain to God and I'll pray to God and I'll, you know, talk about my failures to God. And then, it, you know, as I start to kind of petition to God, that prayer starts to change and become a little bit less selfish, hopefully. And then it starts to become a little bit more God-centered. And then I start to remember a little bit more of God's promises. And then I start to open up a little bit more of my own soul and see my own sin and my own failures and my own distrust and my own and my own and my own. And all of a sudden, my sorrow is turning to joy. My faithlessness is turning to faith. It's like, oh yeah, God's got this. God's got this. And even though our prayers might not be answered in that moment, our faith and courage is strengthened. And we could stand up and be like, oh yeah. Oh yeah, you are God. And I love that even in David's darkest moments, he expresses God's victory. Even before it ever happens, he says in verse 9, you know, Lord, you've heard my plea, and the Lord, you've accepted my prayers. Verse 10, all my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. God, the situation that's before me, you're going to take care of it. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. God, you got this. You see, David's courage and faith is no longer in himself, but it's in God. And we need to learn to do this as well. And we need to understand that when we go before God and lament, we are lamenting to get us to the point where we can see God's faithfulness. It's that the journey of our soul from sorrow to joy. It's the journey of our soul going through the pain and letting go of our earthly and clinging on to the eternal. It's mourning the loss of certain things while accepting the grace of God for all things. And it's not something that just happens in a moment. You know, a lot of times, these righteous lament become a daily routine. There are seasons in your life where it's going to be hard for a long time. There are seasons in your life that are going to be difficult. In fact, there's a lot of people even here who I know are in different seasons where, you know, they just feel like, oh, I need to buck up and move on. No, you don't. You need to learn to have a life of a righteous lament. This might be your morning prayer every day for 2 years. But it's, Lord, I don't have this. Oh, Lord, don't discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, oh God. For your steadfast love, save me, Lord. For your praise, save me, Lord. Because I've been crying and this has been super difficult. And I don't know up from down. Lord, I can't do this. But you gave me the strength yesterday. And Lord, I know that you have a hope for me in the future. And God, you gave me strength last week. And I know that you have promised to take care of your people in and out of every season. Lord, you have heard my prayer. Ah, thank you, God. Righteous lament. The journey of our soul, from sorrow to joy, from fear to trust, from empty to full. And I want to encourage you even this week, take some time to lament. You know, you get that phone call, when you have that conversation, when you go to the doctor's office, when something doesn't work out like you had thought about it would, and you just want to move on, don't. Take some time. Learn how to lament over the small things. Start training your soul to go to the right place. Don't just move on so you can fill it with something else. Work won't fill that hole. Your family won't fill that hole. Your pleasures won't fill that hole. It has to be God. And that takes a process. That's a journey. And so even in the small things, start learning. Lord, you know, go on your face. God, I'm broken. And learn to go to God's character. Open up your soul to God. Remember God's promises and have a righteous lament. And man, I'll tell you what. As a church, if we learn to do this well, we're going to be in one good place. You want to know why? Because nobody else in our culture does this. Nobody else in our culture works through pain and hurt and sorrow and discomfort right. They try to fill it with other things. They try to move on from it. They never heal from it. People feel like they have to put themselves back together before they can ever open up to anybody, when really we all live in a state of brokenness consistently. And if we as a church are going to be able to minister to our world around us, it's going to be because we know how to have a righteous lament. We're not all put together. There are times we live in really hard seasons, and that's okay. We learn how to go before the Lord and give it to him. And we're not all put together because God is the one that puts us together. And we're not putting ourselves into people. We're showing, hey, Liz, let me show you God. Let me show how I got to that point. And when we live this way, we are going to be vastly different from anybody in our world and our culture today. And so even this week, I would encourage you, what are ways you can learn and practice a righteous lament? What are ways where you can see your brokenness and see God's greatness from that season? And Susie's going to come back up. We're going to do two more songs. But during that, we're going to take communion. Okay, parents, you can decide how you want to take communion with your kids or if you want to hold off for now. But we do communion over here at the table. Communion is for believers, people who have trusted in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But you know what? Communion is a great way to lament. Right before Jesus went to the cross, he gave us a great picture of lamenting. Now, he was broken. He didn't want to go to the cross. He said, Lord, and he expressed his sorrow to God, Jesus himself. Isn't that amazing? But when we go and we take time to take communion, it's remembering the death of Christ, the things that God has paid for us, and remembering the pain that Jesus went through in our behalf, his body broken. When we take the bread, we're remembering that he was broken in our behalf. Oh, Lord, thank you. And it's remembering our brokenness before the Lord, that we couldn't do it. It had to be, you know, Jesus had to be broken before us. But then as you take the cup of the new covenant, the blood of the new covenant, it's also then a remembrance that God is the one that puts our life back together. It's a remember that we no longer live under the Old Testament law, but we live under grace because of Jesus, because his blood was spilled for us. And so even as we take communion, I would, you know, encourage you, just learn how to lament a little bit. Lord, I am broken. God, this is the season that I'm in. This is what I've been going through. It could be something that you caused or something that's just totally random that God is allowing you to go through. But God, I need help in this season. God, you were broken so I could come before you. Lord, thank you. And take that bread. And then I'd encourage you then to take that cup and be like, Lord, I know that you are holy and perfect. God, thank you for promising me eternity, and just allow that lament to take place even as you're taking communion. So we have two songs to close, and anytime during that, I would encourage you just to get up on your own and go take communion and just use it as a time to start this righteous lament even in your own life. Let me pray. God, we come before you again this morning. Lord, we are grateful that we don't have to be all put together, God. God, we thank you that we can open up and be real with you, and God, allow you to see our brokenness. And God, even though you are sovereign and perfect, Lord, you allow us to come into your presence. God, that you expect us to come into your presence that way. And Lord, I pray that we would do that often. Lord, that we would understand, God, our need for you, and God, that that we would petition to you, Lord, and that we would open up our soul to you, and God, that you would teach us how to lament well. God, that as we do that, Lord, it would show us your character. God, that it would show us your glory. And God, even this morning as we take communion, Lord, I pray that it would just be a sweet time where we can remember the work that you did on our behalf. God, that we can lament our sin but rejoice in your salvation, God. And God, we thank you for the book of Psalms. In Jesus' name, amen.